This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
I'm Mo Kennedy. I'm from George, like when Johnny introduced me. And it's such a privilege to be here today with you. And we usually come from George to Hermanus for holiday, so that says something. We come from the Garden Route against the grain, against the stream, and we come and visit here in Hermanus. And our family, we're a little like whales. We come here to get babies. So 2 years ago, on the 1st of Jan, 20 minutes past 12, my baby was born, our last one, our fourth one was born, Julia Gino Kennedy, in front of the hospital here in Hermanus. So I have pleasant memories of Hermanus. Lots of cry. And then my sister decided, husband over there, he's the pastor there at Shofar Tigerberg, they decided they're going to have their baby here this year on the 25th. So their baby was born on the 25th. So don't tell my sister I called her a whale or my wife, but that's what we do. We come here to have babies because it is such a privilege just to be with family in that time of your life. So like I said, I'm Omo Kennedy. I'm married to one wife. I have four children. I remember when the baby arrived after all the chaos. Eventually, we got into the hospital, by the way. And the nurse came and she said, "Hey, congratulations. This is your first one. Well done." And I said to her, "No, it's my fourth one." And she was like, "Wow, but you guys look like teenagers." I said, "No." So, just so in love with what God is doing. I still want to be like Johnny when I'm 81. I had a conversation there with Johnny, and he had to go and get a piece of paper to write the number down. And then he was running. He's 81. He was running to his chair to come and get his piece of paper. So there's something in our minds that's happening, whether it's getting into new life, babies being born here, or life, having a life at 81 like when Johnny has. So I'm excited for what God wants to do this morning and also into the new year. Who of you are keen for the new year? Okay, great. That's not usually, you don't usually get that response because a lot of you need to go back home. Who of you need to go back home? Okay, raise your hands very high. Okay. Because you have been rested here. There's something that's been imparted here in whether it's through Shofar Hermanus or in Hermanus, and you're going to take that back into wherever you are working, wherever God has sent you. And it's a privilege to work. It's a privilege to go back. It's a privilege to have a form of income. So let's trust that God touches us this morning. So we go into the new year. And we know the treadmill is already running and back home. And when we get there, we're just going to jump on and we're going to carry on. But it's a privilege. So I want to take you to a scripture that's very close to my heart. It's in Zechariah 4. So a few years ago, I was 19 years old. I went to America to work in a ski resort. There I joined this little fellowship community and we were praying on a Friday night. For me, it was very encouraging to be welcomed into this fellowship of people just loving Jesus and a praying community on a Friday night. So I would take the bus down to Rutland and Vermont, and then I would pray with these people. And then they would encourage me to hear from the Lord and to get a vision from the Lord. And I remember we were praying together. I was 19 years old, a lot of mostly older people in the meeting. And I had this vision of a lampstand, and I saw one of those Jewish menorah lampstands. And then the one guy came to me when I shared it with the group. He said, "Hey, you know, there's actually a scripture in the Bible that refers to this lampstand. Maybe you should take this and go a little deeper with God with regards to this picture that God has given you." And I thought, hey, it's just a picture. So eventually I went to Zechariah 4, and we're going to read the piece now. And I found that this is probably my life scripture, is what we're going to read now. But we're going to do it a little different because I know that most of you are here on holiday and you like to throw things around a little. So what we're going to do is you need to get to know people that's sitting behind you or in front of you. Okay. And you're going to read Zechariah 4, 1 to 14 with these people. Are you keen for that? Reading the Bible with people that you don't know. Wow. Challenging. Okay, so I want you to turn to the front or turn to the back, and groups of four, and I want you to read through Zechariah 1 to 14. When you finish, you can just high-five the people in your group so that I know that you're finished. Okay, great. Give the person a high-five, a person a high-five in your group if you're finished. So this is the Bible, this is the Word of God. If you read it together, you will change, but also your environment will change. So this is very exciting. We can do it with people that we don't know. And I think we need to do that more often, just reading the Bible together. I was reading a story of Lauren Cunningham, and he was telling a story of a missionary that visited his dad's church when he was very young. And this guy was a missionary to Nepal, and he told the story of he had to go into this village up in the mountain, unreached village, and there was a villager from another town visiting. And as he presented the Word of God, he said, hey, this is God's book, this is the Bible, this is the Word of God. And he preached the message, and he shared a little on maybe leadership or whatever. And this guy came to him afterwards, and he said, hey, we are a tribe up in the mountains, a little further from here, and one lady or somebody had a dream and said, there's God's book will be opened up to us again, because apparently they were persecuted in their previous village, and then a couple of years before that they moved up to this village up in the rural mountains of the Himalayas. So, and they lost the book, and they've always just had this desire to go back to the book of God. That's what they called it. And then somebody had a vision and said, this somebody must go to this village because somebody's going to present to them again the book of God. So when this missionary then said, this is the book of God, that person like, wow, we need this book and we need to take it back into our community because we don't know what God expects of us. So when we read the Bible together, when we come to church, it is so important that we're not only reading it, but we're also understanding that this is a precious book, that there's a message in here that will actually change our lives if we apply it. And we're going to get into that. So just to give you some background in chapter 4, so this is Zechariah. He's a prophet. He has 9 visions. God's speaking to him. Israel is coming out of Babylon captivity, and they're now busy rebuilding the temple, because for them the temple represented God, represented the presence of God, and they wanted to be a community that has the presence of God. So we know in the New Testament the presence of God is represented by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives in us. And there's actually a pointer in this vision that points us to the coming of the Holy Spirit. So now the people are building the foundation of the temple, and then suddenly there's resistance. And for a couple of years, there's only a foundation of the temple lying there. So imagine this. Everything that you know about community, everything that you know about life, revolves around the temple, and the temple is still only a foundation. Walking past that sign of your inability to really follow God and to live in a life of abundance. So disappointment, discouragement. And then this vision comes through Zechariah, and he says that Zerubbabel will actually rebuild this temple. And then in verse 6, we read, and I'm going to focus on this verse, we read that it says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. So they're building In other words, they are trying to accomplish, it's a physical task. They need to finish the temple. But now the temple's been in ruins because of the resistance. And the Lord speaks to Zechariah and he says, but I'm going to give you the strength through the Spirit. And this is a New Testament message. You need to do something. Some of you are sitting, you need to go back and you need to change a few things around in your business or your family, or you need to maybe stay here and you're going to go into the new year. You don't know what's expected of you. You're looking at your community and wonder, how are you going to get to do this thing? Because something needs to change. And I think if we look at South Africa, there's an urgency for the Church of Jesus Christ to understand that we need to get our hands dirty. But we can do it in our own strength, or we can do it, like this vision is telling the Israelites to do it by the Spirit's power. And then, so they take this message, and then eventually they build the temple. And in Haggai 2 verse 9, we read that the prophet again, Haggai, he is proclaiming that the glory of this temple, in other words, the temple that was built by the power of the Spirit, will be greater than the temple that was built by Solomon. And Solomon's temple was magnificent. It was glorious. It had all the thrills and whistles. Everything was in that temple. But now, this temple, and apparently according to archaeologists, this temple was a lot smaller. It wasn't as glorious. But now the prophet's saying, this is more glorious. So it is a message to say that if we take serious the fact that we have the Holy Spirit and we can do things through the Holy Spirit, that we will accomplish a more glorious task than what people have accomplished in their own strength. So I want to say 2019 was the last year that you're going to do anything in your own strength. And 2020 will be the year that you need to make serious with the fact that God wants to do it through you, but through His Spirit. Because there's a lot that we need to do. And I'm very excited for what God wants to do through the church. And I know Andres and Lisa very well from this church. And I love what they're standing for. I love how they're getting involved in the community and our monies. And there's an amazing thing happening. And I would just agree with the word that came about the revival and something that's going to happen. And the whole this wall is going to be flooded with water and with the Spirit so that you can take it out into your community. So, for me, the Spirit is very, very precious. And this message is really, really precious. Not only because God spoke to me in that vision, but also by just pursuing this vision for my life, I've seen God at work. And I've seen how God has changed me. And how He has touched my family. How He has touched my community. How I, as a very young pastor, can actually have an influence in our community. I'm so privileged because I know it's not by might, it's not by armor, it's not by who I am, but it's by who God is. So I just want to quickly give you a summary on Spirit living, and then we're going to look at two things that will help you in pursuing the Holy Spirit. Great. So summary of Spirit living is that we are created in the image of God. We all know that. And God is Spirit. So we are created in God's image, so we are spiritual beings. So the fact that you are a spirit is more real than the muscles, the bones, your brain. It's more real than that. The spiritual reality is more real than the created reality, because God created out of the Spirit. He created all the beautiful mountains, the sea that we can see. Everything was created from the Spirit. So when we think of doing it by the Spirit's power, we must realize that our identity actually lies in the fact that we are created in as spiritual beings in the Spirit. So if that is true, then we have an advantage in this world, the Church of Jesus Christ. We have an advantage, an amazing advantage, is that we know that it is true. And we know that it's not only our spirit that's trying to negotiate all the troubles, all the chaos, but we also know that there was a spirit given by God for us to help us negotiating our purpose, our mission, and to transform our environment. So now, the spirit is more real than the created reality. And then Jesus shows up and he says, hey, I want to give you not only the image of the spirit, because we carry the blueprint of who God is, but also our identity and what God has called us in our spirit being. It's all in there. But I also want to send the Holy Spirit into you so that you can know exactly who God is. That's so important. We want to know who God is, how he feels about us. Like I loved what Izelle was sharing this morning. She said, thank you, God, that you love our children more than we love them. So I want to say to you that when you make an effort to interact with the Spirit of God and to really search him out, you'll understand that about God, that God loves you more than you love yourself, more than your mother loves you, more than any person in this world loves you. He is so in love with you. He wants to be with you, and he wants to be all over you. There'd be a massive revelation. And the second revelation would then be that God, so that is who God is, but also who we are. That we are powerful in God's eyes. We have the Spirit of God in us. Romans 8, it says that it's our spirit with the Spirit of God that confirms our identity as sons of God. So now, we are maybe in the natural world, you are struggling with depression. Maybe you're struggling with anxiety. Maybe you're struggling with your family. You're struggling with your wife. You're struggling with your kids. There's so many things that we can struggle with. And then God comes and reveals him as a spirit. He opens up who he is, and he opens up your true identity. And suddenly you realize, but all of those things is a lower reality than the spirit reality. Okay. One important thing that's for me, I think, significant and we need to understand is that Jesus in John 16 verse 7, he says the following. It's a massive statement. He says, it is better for me to go away, because if I don't go away, I cannot send the advocate. I cannot send the Holy Spirit. So imagine this. You are walking with Jesus. You're getting to catch some fish with Jesus. You're having a breakfast braai there on the beach with Jesus. You see the miracles. You can get to ask him the questions after he's given the difficult teachings. And then this guy who has access to all knowledge, he says, it's better for me to leave this world so that you can receive my spirit, the spirit of Jesus Christ. Imagine that. So we live in a new dispensation. And this dispensation, it's a new era. It is better than the era when Jesus walked this earth. When you can actually go to him and physically touch him. It is better than that. So this is the spirit era, what we are living in now. And if we make an effort to understand the spiritual world, understand how we as spiritual beings should engage with this world, we will have success for God's kingdom. And we also see that in the way that Jesus models his ministry is that he gets baptized, he gets filled with the Holy Spirit, and only then he starts his ministry. So everything that he did, he did from a place of being empowered by the Spirit. So Jesus, in a way, he walked out this prophetic word, this picture of Zechariah, not by godness, not by strength, but by the Spirit of God, because he modeled to us how we should live. So I want to give you two things that helps me in understanding, am I in the Spirit or am I not in the Spirit? And the one is that if you are in the Spirit, if you get to If you engage with the Holy Spirit, you will have power. Acts 1 verse 8, it says, wait in Jerusalem, and then the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be a witness. The power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be witnesses. In other words, you will receive a power not only to live life and to survive, but you'll actually receive a power that will transform not only your city, not only the city on the other side of the into, not only the city on the other side of this continent, but you will change the nation if you receive this power. So when we are spirit-filled, we should have power. And if you don't have power, then you need to go back to Jesus and you need to say, God, this is what you promised, that we will be powerful with your Spirit. And I want that so that I can glorify you. There's a spirit of our age that says, if you're a victim, then you are powerful. Because you can say, hey, because of my background, because of my sexuality, because of my father, because of my mother, because of the job that I have, because of my boss, because of all these things, therefore I am. And therefore people need to listen to me, and therefore I am entitled to a handout. This is the spirit of our age. It is across culture. It is everywhere. This is the spirit of our age. But when we make serious of what the Bible says and we understand that we actually have the Spirit of Christ in us, we're not allowed to play the victim card anymore. When Jesus came in, he is the victor. The victim left. And I'm challenging myself. This is how I gauge my spirit-filledness. I'm challenging myself. Amo, are you complaining about your circumstances? Are you complaining about your wife? Are you complaining about your children? Are you complaining about the hard work that you've put in, the lack of rest? Are you complaining? What are you doing? Are you agreeing with the victor in you? Are you agreeing with the spirit of victimhood that the devil wants to place on you? What are you trying to do? Because if I have power, then I also have the authority of Jesus Christ. And if I live in the Spirit, then my circumstances, they were walled, that probably created by my boss, probably created by my children, because those things are real, by the way, probably created by the devil, that is a lower reality. And I'm stepping on those circumstances with the authority of Jesus. And I think the Church of Jesus Christ, we should take that very seriously, is that we have the privilege of saying, I'm not a victim anymore. Not a victim of anything. The crazy thing about Jesus is that actually he turns your circumstances in a way so that it will be actually reflecting the power that God has placed in you. Romans 8:28, everything works for the good for those who are called according to, who loves him and are called according to his purpose. So it says you should actually look at your difficult circumstances. You should look at where you come from. You should look at your culture and you'd say, God's going to turn this around to glorify him. This is actually an opportunity for God to shine through me. So often we look at where we come from and that's we have a lack focus. We are lacking in this area. And therefore we say, hey, sorry, I won't be able to do this. Those things are lies, and it's keeping us paralyzed in the Church of Jesus Christ. We should just celebrate where we come from. We have a lady in our church. She's actually she's a good friend of mine. And when she was 8 years old, she was raped. And again, 11 years old, she was also raped. She was raped when she was 8 years old by a complete stranger. And I had a privilege of walking her through deliverance and forgiveness, and it was incredible. For me, it was so faith-building. She saw Jesus in that moment when she got raped, and that Jesus didn't, he never left her. And somehow Jesus managed that situation in a vision. He managed that situation that she would actually have more confidence in Jesus after this counseling session. And then Jesus took her to the back of the house where she was crying. Her mother didn't know. Her mother, I don't know if her mother actually knows now, but she was crying at the back of her house, and she, in an open vision, saw the angels coming to her and singing over her. Incredible vision. Incredible healing just happening right there in that moment. And then after that, a couple of weeks after that, we had an Encounter 4 course, and she said, "Hey, I want to share my story." And she shared a story of how she got raped, told it to everybody, and she shared of how God intervened. And then she said this, "I can't even think of the day there was a rape, not thinking of God and giving God all the glory." Wow. And now people were sitting there, they were listening to a circumstance that was not from the God, to an action, to an abuse that didn't happen because of God's will. They were listening to this story, and they were glorifying God and thinking, wow, if she can have that attitude, then I also, I want that. I want to know this God. So if you are spirit-filled, you have power, you have authority, you have the Spirit of Christ in you. Wow, incredible opportunity for all of us. The second one, it's much needed, and I'm focusing on these two because I feel it's important for us to understand. There's a lot more that you can take from being spiritful. The second one is to be in rest. So the first one is enablement, and the second one is a position of rest. Exodus 33 verse 14, Moses is he has a conversation with God, and he says, "Hey God, I need you to go with me. I don't know if I can take the Israelites out of Egypt. Please, God, how can we do this? How can you?" Or he's already taken the Israelites out of Egypt, but he now needs to carry on to the promised land. And then God says to him, "I will go with you. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Which is interesting, because God's telling him, "Hey, you need to take all these people through the desert into a promised land. So I'm giving you work. I'm giving you a job. I'm giving you assignment. I'm giving you something that you need to go and do. But this is my promise. I will be with you. The Spirit will be with you. And I will give you rest." So even though the circumstance will tell you to be full of stress, even though the circumstance will tell you this is too big a task, even though your circumstance will say, "Hey, I need to put in all the effort that I can to achieve this goal that God has set for me," even though this is what your emotional state would be, I'm saying this. And this is, when God speaks, it is the higher reality. He says, "I will give you rest." So this is what God's telling you. He's saying, "Hey, whether you're going back, whether you're staying in Amonis, I will go with you and I will give you rest. But I've given you a massive assignment, and I'm giving you this assignment to glorify me through this. But I will give you rest." So this is how I do it. I'm like, "Jesus, do I have power currently?" "Yes, I have." That's the spirit reality. I have the Spirit of God in me, so I have power and I have authority. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is my reality. This is the higher reality. What's my circumstances saying? My circumstances are saying, "No, I don't have finances. I struggle with that relationship at work. I don't know how to do with my future. I don't actually have a vision for my future. I don't know." So I have power, but this is my circumstance. Okay, so let's bring all of this to this reality, and we say, "Okay, great. So I will look at my circumstance, my lack of good relationships from this perspective." Because this is the truth. Now, the second thing that you need to look at is rest. So now again, there's turmoil in my relationships. There's turmoil in my finances. January is the longest month, financial month of the year. What will I do? Shucks. Man, I've been disobedient to the voice of God. Don't spend too much there, or don't eat there, or whatever. Oh man, what I'm... Then you need to bring your whole reality, who you are, you need to bring it into alignment with who you really are. Because God didn't leave you when you overspend in December. God didn't leave you when you had a quarrel with your husband. God didn't leave you when you were angry at the traffic in Hermanus, trying to get to the beach. He didn't leave you, but you need to bring all of this into this reality. Wow, I have authority and I'm at rest. Now, the interesting thing about rest is that God created everything we know in 6 days. So he created mankind on which day? The sixth day. And then on the seventh day, he gives mankind he gives him a job. He says, you need to take care, you need to multiply. That's what we're doing as our Kennedys. We're doing a great year, everyone. We're multiplying. And you need to labor, you need to work hard. And then he says, on the seventh day, you need to rest. So it's like employing somebody and saying, hey, okay, great. But now, just to show you how we work here in this company is, you need to take leave for the first 2 weeks. Because what is God doing? He is revealing to us the way in which we will succeed is to work from a place of rest. From a place of rest. We're not going to start laboring in January so we can get into December again and come to Hermanus and experience this champagne air. Apparently there was an advertisement in a few years ago in England saying, come to Hermanus and they have champagne air. That's not what we want to do. We actually want to be in rest through the whole year. So are you spirit-filled? Are you making an effort to pursue Jesus and the Spirit of Jesus so that you'll be full, so that you have power, so that you have a victor mentality, not a victim mentality? And do you have rest? Let's look at the last scripture, Matthew 11, 28 and 30. And I want to use this as homework. So something that you're going to go and do to get into the Spirit, because that's where the exciting things happens. That's where you'll have power, but also it will reveal to you the rest that we have in Jesus Christ. It's a very well-known scripture, Matthew 11, 28 and 30. Jesus speaking, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Some of you are already tired of January, and it's not even January. So this is for you. He says, come to me. And like I tell our congregation in George, unfortunately, we as Christians, we need to believe this because this is the word of God. This is a good promise to believe. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what Jesus is doing, he's telling us, hey guys, I'm inviting you into this reality where it is a place of rest, where the burdens are light. It's the truth. There's anything in your mind, in your heart, that's saying this is not the truth, you need to take that captive and you need to bring it to Jesus. So we can have rest and we don't have to carry these burdens that most of us carry. And this side in our reality is that we carry these burdens. We think if we can just put a little more effort in, if my financial situation will be a little more stable, if I have a better and more submissive wife, then, wow, then I will have rest for my soul. And some of you are laughing because that's actually your heart's desire. And it will help if people that's close to you behave in a godly way. It will help. But it's like somebody said, it's so easy to express the fruits of the Spirit if there's no people around you. But it's actually God uses people to challenge you to become more like Jesus. So even the people that's that are difficult in your life, it is a blessing from God. It's like if God's using them to allow you to become more like Jesus, imagine the conversation that the devil and the demons have in heaven when there's a difficult person in your life. Please don't let that difficult person get to him, Johnny. It's just going to make you more godly. It's just going to make you more Christ-like. What's going to happen? The devil's going to say, leave that guy alone. Don't send any more difficult circumstance or difficult people to him, because it's only making him more like Jesus. Yes, let's do that. So, this reality is a lower reality. This reality is a higher reality. So what's Jesus saying? He's commanding us to, he's saying we need to do two things to experience this. The first one is we need to come to Jesus. We need to come to Jesus. Some of you coming on holiday, you also take holiday from Jesus. That is wrong. You need to come to Jesus. A holiday without Jesus will not give you rest. So I love recreation. We live in George, so every Friday I would go down. I'm trying to surf, and I love it. I love jumping in there in sometimes cold water, a lot warmer than here in Hermanas. But I just experiencing God's nature. So I have these habits in my life that I pursue just in resting also my body. But if I only surf, and if I only go down to Vic Bay every week, that will not give rest to my soul. That is not the only thing that you need. It is important to honor the principle of a rest day during a week. That is very important. But there's a more important thing that we all need to understand is we need to come to Jesus. And coming to Jesus means that you create a habit in your life, you are disciplined in this, you read the Word, you pray, and you just offer Him thanksgiving. It's purposeful, like the word that came here. It's a purposeful pursuit of who Jesus is. He is the only one that will give you rest. Financial breakthrough, no, it will not give you rest. It will create more trouble, often. I'm not saying God is against finance. God wants to bless. In Deuteronomy, it says that God, He gives us the ability to create wealth. So come to Jesus. So this is a great New Year's resolution. Your highest priority in your life, you tell it to your wife, you tell it to your girlfriend, you tell it to your boyfriend, you tell it to your children, you say, my highest priority in life is to come to Jesus. Because if I come to Jesus, then I will experience the Spirit's power, and I will experience rest. And you know what? I will have more to give to you. Very important. The second one, he says, you need to take up my yoke, and you need to learn from Jesus. So there's this habit, discipline of pressing into the Spirit on your own, coming to Him during worship. Say, God, I surrender. Like you, some of you are like that sailboat that you're trying to go against the wind. You will not be able to do this. When you surrender. And then the second one is taking up the yoke. So I'm just going to fly the picture of that yoke. There's a picture of oxen with a yoke. Okay, so when Jesus is talking about a yoke, he's actually talking about a job. He's talking about work. He's saying, I'm like when we unload our luggage. I have little kids, so we tell them, you need to help unload the luggage. But what they do is they want to carry the biggest bags. So I end up carrying the bag, and they just tag along. They touch the bag like that. And this is what God is or Jesus trying to explain to us. He is giving us a heavy load. Save the world. Change South Africa. Change your husband. Educate your children. Bring them up in the Lord. It's a heavy yoke. It's a heavy bag. But you can be like almost kids and you can just tag along. But you need to come to me and you need to yoke with me. So this is not like, hey, just sitting back and relax. This is a job that God is giving us. And he says, yoke with me and learn from me. So I'll show you how to carry these heavy loads. We need more people in the church that have great capacity, that can work long hours in a season, that can go late at night, go in and go into the bars, go into the places where people operate late at night, go into businesses, work with those people, stay with them, and stay in rest, take care of their bodies, yes, but do the work. And you can only do that if you yoke with Jesus. Okay. So, and end off with this heavy word in the end of December, end of 2019. But let's take this into the new year, because I carry a sense of urgency that God wants us to change the world. And if you read history, it was always people that pursue the power of the Holy Spirit that changed the world. Let's be those people. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to bring out the communion. And I want you to make confession to God. You say, God, it's easy to make confession. It's a great thing to make confession. It's like standing in the mirror before you meet somebody really important, you see there's a little black thing in the middle of your teeth. You're like, whoa, there's something wrong. I need to take it out. You take it out. And then you can meet this guy with confidence. He's not gonna gossip to you about you to his colleagues saying, hey, that guy, he was great, but he had something between his teeth. Maybe he should just brush his teeth before he comes to a meeting with an important person like me. Confession is like that. You're seeing something, you're like, wow, this is something that God can change, and you hand it over to Jesus. So we're going to take communion, and I want you to do this. I want you to see where in this 2019 you have tried to do it in your own strength. And I want you to confess it to Jesus. You say, because God is faithful in forgiving us. He is faithful to pull that yoke from your shoulders and hand it over or take it on himself. He is so faithful. I was challenged by Matthew 1:21 over this Christmas season. And it says that Jesus came to save us from sin. To save us from sin. So when we have Jesus, he wants to save us from sin. He wants to save us from our inability to surrender even. He wants to save us from our weakness. He wants to save, but it's in the surrendering process that he becomes the Savior. Well, they're still handing out, so I know what I've been called to do. One of the things is to really make it uncomfortable for people to be mediocre. I believe I'm called for that. And then sometimes I know that when we communicate the standard of Jesus Christ, a lot of people feel condemned, because it's like the devil is using what God sets before us as a standard, and he's trying to tell people, hey, you're falling short, therefore you are a second-grade citizen of heaven. You will never make it. But I want us to even change that today. Whenever you experience something that's really challenging, maybe you hear a testimony of somebody that's changing his workplace or going to a different nation, or somebody that's really been affected by just the power and the presence of God, and you see it or you hear about it, and your first reaction, because I know there's some of you sitting here, your first reaction is, but wow. But that is not for me, because I'm not a good enough Christian. I'm not good enough. Then I want you to take that lie and throw it away, because that's not who God is, and that's not who God called you to be, and that's not what he's saying. God is coming to you and he's saying, it's like a coach coming to an athlete and saying, hey, I saw you running. You ran the 100 meters on grass, 10.5. Brilliant. Wow. Who runs the 100 meters, 10.5? You're only 16 years old. Wow. But you know what? I can see it in you. I see with my help, because this is the coach, the Holy Spirit, with my help, with my Spirit's empowerment, you can actually do it under 10. If you're the athlete, what are you going to experience? You're going to experience encouragement. You're going to say, wow, this guy actually believes in you. My coach, the person that's closest to me, actually believes in you. And the Holy Spirit, he actually goes even a little bit further. He's saying, hey, you're going to play Roger Federer in the Wimbledon final. But I'm going to give you Djokovic's spirit. And we all walk there, center court, Wimbledon. It's wow. And we're like, who am I? Who am I? I wouldn't be able to take on this guy, the legend, the Swiss legend. Who am I? And then suddenly you realize, wow, Novak's spirit. And you pass the mirror and you swing your racket like that, and you're like, wow, it's exactly like Novak's doing it. Wow, incredible. Thank you. So this is what you need to do. You need to go out, you need to come to Jesus, you need to take his rest, take his yoke, you need to pursue what God has for you, and that's probably going to start with your family. It's probably going to start with what God has already given you, and say, hey, thank you, Jesus. Although I'm feeling like I'm playing Roger Federer in my own strength, I want to do it with your spirit strength. Great. So I think all of us have communion. Let's take the bread and let's break it, because God, Jesus' body was broken for us, so that we don't have to be broken, so that we don't have to be victims. Let's take the blood of Jesus. He gave it all so that we can have it all, so that we can give it all away again. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask now that the Holy Spirit floods this room like the vision that came about the water just flooding this room. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to touch every hungry heart. We've had incredible testimonies in our church where people would just, they would just walk in, and there will be a physical manifestation of who God is, of His love. People crying even before the service, just overwhelmed by God's love, knowing that God is real, knowing that God loves him. And I'm going to trust that God does exactly that now. So if you can just extend your hands like this in a, so as to receive something from the Lord, and this is a good gift. By the way, the Holy Spirit is like my kids coming to me and saying, "Dad, I want broccoli. And I want lots of broccoli." As a good dad, I'm going to say, "Hey, let's plant some broccoli. Let's give you all the broccoli that your heart desires." And then in Luke 11, that's exactly what Jesus is saying. He's saying, as a good father, He wants to give us the Spirit of power, the Spirit of rest. So just open your hands like this. Holy Spirit, I ask now that you rekindle the fires in people that have already been stirred in the name of Jesus. Lord, there's people in here that went through revivals, God, that have experienced revival, experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, that somehow they've stopped coming to you and the rest is not there. The yoke is heavy. Now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I command by the Spirit's power that you take off those yokes, that you take off those burdens, because it's not from you, the responsibility. And we want to yoke with you. We want to labor with you. We want to look out for people with you. So Holy Spirit, come. Flood this room. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We also speak against any evil thing that brings anxiety, any evil thing that says that God is not as good as He says He is. And we command that to leave in the name of Jesus. What I want you to do, just as a symbolic action, prophetic action, just take your right hand from your left shoulder and just remove the burden. It says, "Hey, let's remove that. Thank you, Jesus." You do the other side too. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to call up a few people. I sense there's a lady here. You've been walking with the Lord all your life, and you've been very, very disciplined in that. But there was a moment a few years ago where you experienced God's power and His just the energy of the Holy Spirit, and it flooded you. And you were known by the people around you as the one who just loves Jesus. You were always just loving Jesus. During worship, you just loved it. But somehow, because of things that happened, could be that you had a few babies or just distractions. Not that babies are distractions, they are beautiful gifts, but somehow we lose touch of just coming to Jesus. I want you to come forward, because we're going to pray for you. That's the first person. Then if there's anyone of you that don't know Jesus, you don't know that He is a good God, and you want forgiveness of your sin, you want to come into the kingdom of God, you want to experience what it means to yoke with Jesus, you want to change the world, I also want to call you. I want to call you forward. And then also a group of people, if you are here and you're just always feeling like you're praying against the roof, there's nothing happening. You always feel like you're powerless. You know that this is the Word of God, but somehow your life and your circumstances not lining up with what the Word of God says, and you just feel powerful, but you're already pursuing God. And you just want the Holy Spirit to touch you. You want the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You want the broccoli of the Holy Spirit. that I want you to come forward and we're going to pray for you and trust that God changes you in this very moment. Because I know this because I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in my dad's life. My dad's a Dominie. I've seen it in people in our congregation's life that if we pursue Jesus, He comes and he floods our hearts with the Holy Spirit and its power and its rest. So let's stand, and while those people come forward, can we sing that song of pouring our devotion onto Jesus? Okay, so if you need to leave, you're welcome to leave. If you need to just stay here a little longer, linger in the presence of God and pour your devotion unto Jesus and saying, Jesus, this year, 2020, I'm going to come to you. Do that. Let's not be shy to be expressive in our worship also. Like David, whether you want to dance, you want to sing, do that. And those people who need to come forward, please come forward. We would love to pray for you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.